This is Barack Lesnar of Barack Lesnar Hoops bringing you a Week 6 Fantasy Basketball Breakdown. We will be discussing the Week 6 schedule. We will be discussing the top waiver wire pickups, not only in shallow leagues, but if you stay until the end, we'll also discuss those deep league targets that can help you win your week. That video starts right now. So before we get started, as always, do me a favor and smash that like button for me and subscribe to Barack Lesnar Hoops if you have not yet. Also, I want you to leave me a comment below and let me know how your season is going so far and if these videos have been helping. So we'll be starting today's video with the Week 6 schedule breakdown. It's a really simple breakdown. The teams playing four games this week. You have Denver, Detroit, you have the Clippers, the Lakers, the Pelicans, and you have the Utah Jazz. The teams playing three games are Atlanta, Brooklyn, Charlotte, Chicago, Cleveland, Dallas, the Golden State Warriors, Houston, Indiana, Memphis, Miami, Milwaukee, Minnesota, the New York Knicks, OKC, Orlando, Philadelphia, Phoenix, Portland, Sacramento, Toronto, and Washington. And the teams that you have playing two games are Boston and the San Antonio Spurs. So the teams that have back-to-backs this week are the Clippers, the Lakers, the Pelicans, the Utah Jazz, Dallas, the Golden State Warriors, Memphis, and Miami. The light days this week are Monday with five games being played. You have Wednesday with seven games being played and Friday with six games being played. And the top five teams according to their strength of schedule. So that's going to be a combination of games played. That's going to be a combination of back-to-backs and games on the light days. You have Denver, the Clippers, the Lakers, Utah, and the Pelicans. So a lot of pickups this week as far as streams will be from those teams. All right, so you've been patient. Let's get to those waiver wire pickups. So the first player on my list this week is Jaden Ivey. And like we've discussed before, if they are on this video, it is because they're available in at least 40% of leagues. Jaden Ivey right now is only 46% rostered. He was struggling to get minutes for the majority of the season, but we have seen an uptick in minutes over the last four games. His last game, played 32 minutes, made 9 of his 16 shots, 56% from the field. He did only make 6 of his 9 free throws, but he got you 25 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, a block, did get 3 turnovers. He hit a 3. So the minutes are promising. Detroit fans wanted this guy getting more minutes, and it's happening right now. A lot of teams moved on due to the lower minutes he was getting to start the season. So pick him up right now just to see if he continues getting those minutes. We saw him produce last year. Just know that he can hurt your field goal percentage. He can hurt your free throw percentage on occasion, and he can be turnover prone without really making up for it with steals and blocks. He's still a second year player, so he's a bit of an unknown in that he could do a lot better than we got from his rookie season. The season didn't start that way, but it's looking promising right now. Give him a look. Another point guard currently flying off of waiver wires is Cole Anthony after stringing together a couple of strong games. You can see here in a win against Charlotte, he played 32 minutes, made 9 of his 16 shots, 11 of his 12 free throws, had 30 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, a block, did have 2 turnovers, only 1 3. But that is a great stat line right there. Took 16 shots. The game before that took 17 shots, though he only made 35% of those. Cole Anthony is a guy that can score, can get you assists, and he can do so pretty efficiently. And he's a decent rebounder as well. Not going to get you a ton of defensive numbers, not going to get you a ton of assists, but very useful in certain situations. If he's available on your waiver wire, he's worthy of consideration. Kobe White is quickly going up in value and almost about to hit our cutoff. He's 58% rostered right now. You can see here over the last 2 weeks, he's shooting 43% from the field, 77% from the free throw line, but he is hitting 3.5 threes, almost 15 points per game, 2.8 rebounds, 3.3 assists, with 2.3 turnovers. Over the last week, those numbers are at 5 three-pointers made per game, 20 points, 3.5 rebounds, 3.8 assists. Alex Caruso has been dealing with a toe injury, which has him in and out of the lineup. So Kobe White, has been pretty consistent and he's starting to improve. So if he's available on your waiver wire and you need a point guard that has some scoring punch, him along with Cole Anthony would be some good options for you. The Pelicans play 4 games this week, which makes Dyson Daniels an enticing target. Now do keep in mind CJ McCollum is back at practice and could return at any point. Still though, with 4 games this week and a back-to-back on Friday and Saturday, Dyson Daniels is somebody to consider. The minutes have been there. His last game, his shooting was not great. Only made 3 of his 14 shots, but he did get you 6 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 6 steals, 1 block. The field goal percentage and the turnovers absolutely hurt us there. But outside of those areas, Dyson Daniels is a guy that can hit threes, get assists, get you steals, and he has some opportunity as long as CJ McCollum is out, so give him a look. Keontae George is another point guard that also has been hurting your field goal percentage if you're counting on him right now, which I have been in a few leagues. You could see there his last game only shot 4 of 13 from the field. And if we go into the season stats, we can see that over the last 2 weeks, he's only shooting 32%. Over the last month, only shooting 33%. Over the last week at 30%. So if you pick this guy up, he is going to hurt your field goal percentage, at least right now. The free throw percentage looks a lot better. You can see here over the last 2 weeks, it's at 84%. Over the last 2 weeks, he's hitting 2.2 three-pointers per game, 12.8 points, 4 rebounds, 6.3 assists to only 2.8 turnover. He's getting you 0.8 steals, so the defensive numbers really aren't there. This is a guy I'm picking up, not so much for what he's doing right now, but for what I think he can do later on this season. It's clear to me the Jazz believe in him and want to invest energy, time, minutes into his development. It doesn't look to me like the Jazz are that interested in competing this season. That's just the feeling that I'm getting with some of the moves they're making. And at the end of the year, if Keontae George is really let loose, I can see him being on some championship rosters as long as he can stay healthy. Kyle Lowry is only 40% rostered, and he's been a pretty decent point guard option for the majority of the season. Last game, he played 30 minutes, hit 2 three-pointers, 9 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, did get you 2 steals. The field goal percentage was pretty low, only made 3 of his 10 shots. But he's a guy you pick up because he's getting you assists, he's getting you steals, he can hit three-pointers. He used to be a great fantasy asset. He has aged. He's over the hill right now, but he is outproducing the expectations people had for him. Pick him up, give him a look. Jimmy Butler has been ailing, and when Jimmy Butler does not play, Kyle Lowry tends to step up. So give him a look if you're in need of a point guard with his skill set. Norman Powell is another guard worthy of some consideration. Norman Powell has 2 games in a row getting 24 or more minutes, though he only took 4 shot attempts his last game. The game before that, he made 8 of his 14 shots. Last game had 15 points on only 4 shot attempts. Very efficient scoring right there. Game before that had 20 points. Here's another guard that really only scores. He can be efficient when given the opportunity. He's not going to help you much with defensive numbers. He's not going to help you much with assists, but in a good week, he can really help your percentages, score, and get some threes for you, and he doesn't turn the ball over all that much. Give him a look if that stat line seems appealing to you. Eric Gordon has been really good so far this season. He's a guy I didn't rely on too much just because historically he's either injured or streaky, but so far he's been really consistent this season. Kevin Durant might be missing some time. I'm not sure how long he's going to be out. He did miss a game, but Eric Gordon stepped up. In his last game, made 9 of his 13 shot attempts, 25 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, a block, hit 6 three-pointers. The game before that, he took 15 shot attempts, so 3 games in a row with him getting double-digit shot attempts. Bradley Beal is out. KD is ailing. Devin Booker has been ailing. So if any of those players are going to miss time, Eric Gordon seems like he's going to be the main beneficiary. As long as he's this good, he should be available in more leagues. He's only 50% rostered right now. Jordan Hawkins has been pretty inconsistent, but just like we discussed with Dyson Daniels, there is opportunity for him to help you this week with the schedule and the back-to-back. So you can see here in his last game, he played 40 minutes, took 17 shots, made 8 of them, 4 of his 5 free throws, hit 5 three-pointers, 25 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal. Did hurt it some with those 4 turnovers, but with the schedule they have this week, CJ McCollum not quite back yet, and this guy's ability to hit a lot of threes quickly, especially for such a young player, he's somebody to strongly consider, not only for the short term, but possibly the long term, especially because even if CJ McCollum comes back, he has shown to be pretty injury prone. Not saying this guy has long-term value, it's still too early to tell, but for the very least, you might want to consider streaming him. Malik Beasley of my Milwaukee Bucks has been pretty decent so far this season. He's been getting a lot of minutes, and I figured that he might get minutes this season because the Bucks are pretty thin outside of their star players, and Chris Middleton has been dealing with a bit of a bum knee. In his last game, he made 5 of his 14 shots, hit 4 three-pointers at 14 points, 6 rebounds, did get you 3 steals. Normally not a guy you pick up for the defensive numbers, even though he is getting you a steal per game so far this season. Royce O'Neal is another player you may want to consider, especially if Nicholas Claxton is to miss any more time. He missed the last game, and you had Royce O'Neal step into those minutes, played 36 minutes, made 7 of his 11 shots, hit 6 three-pointers, had 20 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, had only 1 turnover. This guy has shown in the past, when given the opportunity, that he can produce and chip in a little bit across the board. The problem is, when the Nets are healthy, he tends to go more towards the wayside. He hasn't been as consistent this year as he has been in the past, but you may want to pick him up right now to see if he can continue producing these sort of stat lines for your fantasy basketball team. We learned that Jalen Johnson is going to be missing the next few weeks due to a fractured wrist. Very unfortunate. I had him on a few teams who strongly produced. But DeAndre Hunter has now become a target, not only because of the new opportunity, but the fact that he has been playing more minutes and he has been producing. You can see there he has 3 games in a row where he scored 20 or more points. He had 5 three-pointers last game, 8 on 3 the game before that, so 8 combined over the last 2 games. Taking double-digit shot attempts 3 games in a row. Getting you steals, got you blocks 2 of the last 3 games. The turnovers, pretty manageable. So DeAndre Hunter has some opportunity right now, again, due to the injury to Jalen Johnson. If he's on your waiver wire, give him a look. He's only 57% rostered right now. Another player who will benefit from the absence of Jalen Johnson is Sadiq Bey. You can see here he's had 25 or more minutes, essentially going back the last 10 games. Last game, he played 29 minutes, only made 3 of his 7 shots, but he hit a 3-pointer, had 7 points, 8 rebounds, had an assist. The game before that, played 32 minutes, had 13 points, 9 rebounds, an assist, a steal. This is a guy that can get you a lot of threes and steals pretty quickly when given the minutes, and the minutes should be there in the short term until they get Jalen Johnson back. He's only 50% rostered. Give him a look. Jaime Jaquez Jr. for the Heat has been going up in value. He's 43% rostered now, and that's a lot higher than it was when I talked about him in my video last week. You can see here he has 2 games in a row getting 31 or more minutes, getting double-digit shot attempts 4 games in a row. Last game, he got you 18 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, 2 three-pointers. The game before that had 15 points, 4 assists. The game before that, 22 points, 8 rebounds. And the game before that had 19 points. So he's been getting hot over the last few games. The minutes have been there. The opportunity has been there. And the production has been. So strongly consider picking him up if you need somebody that can score, can hit some threes, can do so pretty efficiently, and also get you some steals. We haven't seen a lot of blocks from him, but he's producing in enough different areas where he should be given a strong look, I'd say, in 12 teams. And Dario Saric is 34% rostered. His ownership numbers are going up, and this is probably the hottest stretch I've seen from Dario Saric ever since his rookie season, where he was in the running for Rookie of the Year. What really makes him enticing for me is the fact that Steve Kerr was quoted as saying that this guy is going to get a pretty big contract during the offseason. So when you have the coach giving that sort of praise, that to me tells me that there's going to be opportunity. I mean, for you to go publicly and tell one of your players, hey, you're going to get paid, that is that coach publicly sharing his belief in that player, and that belief has to be backed up with opportunity. He's not going to get paid if he doesn't have the opportunity to produce. So what I'm gathering is Steve Kerr will create the opportunity for Dario Saric to produce, even with a returning Draymond. And if we look at his recent games, all right, so they won two of their last three games. And in those last three games, he's played between 22 and 26 minutes. He scored in double digits all three games. He scored 18 points, 17 points, 20 points, has a combined 9 3-pointers made over that same span. And if we go a little deeper into the numbers, over the last 2 weeks, he is averaging 10.7 shot attempts per game, 48% from the field, 85% from the free throw line. He's hitting 2.3 threes per game, 15.7 points per game, 5.5 rebounds, 3.2 assists, 1.3 steals, only 1.5 turnovers. That is some really juicy production laying there on the wire in a lot of leagues. He's only 34% rostered considering the numbers he's putting up. Everyone rushed to pick up Santi Aldama, but Dario Saric is doing a lot of the same things and not getting as near of the attention. So if he's on your waiver wire, this may be the time to pick him up, because another game like this, it might just be too late. Kelly Olynyk is another big man I've been targeting, even in some 12-team leagues, typically as my fourth big. I like to have 4 to 5 centers, and I think guys like Kelly Olynyk and Dario Saric, when they're your fourth or fifth center, you're in pretty good shape. If they're your first or second center, you're probably too thin and want to address that at some point. He's been getting pretty consistent minutes, and even with a returning Walker Kessler, he played 24 minutes in his last game, made 4 of his 6 shots, had 3 3-pointers, 13 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and a block. The game before that had 13 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, and a block. He's getting you almost 4 assists per game from the center position, getting you almost a steal per game. He's hitting threes pretty consistently. And if we look at his averages over the last 2 weeks, he's shooting 54% from the field, 86% from the free throw line. Over the last week, that's 58% from the field, only 77% from the free throw line, but he's more consistent than that from the free throw line. I would call that an anomaly. This guy can really help your team, even though the numbers don't really pop out at you. Only 10 points per game, a big only getting you 6.7 rebounds. When you really factor in the fact he's getting you assists, the fact that he's helping your field goal, your free throw, he's getting threes, he's getting you close to a steal per game, he doesn't turn over the ball a lot, and again, getting you assists from the center position, that's pretty valuable for a guy that's only 33% rostered. I'd be lying if I told you I'm crazy about Obi Toppin, but the minutes and the production have really stepped up over the last few games. In his last game, he played 24 minutes, made 6 of his 8 shots. That's his third game in a row scoring in double digits. 4 games ago, he only got you 6 points, but 5 games ago, he scored 27 on 15 shot attempts. It is a little concerning to me that he's only getting shot attempts in the single digits. To me, that doesn't show he's really being factored into the offense. Maybe that'll change. I don't foresee it. Still, though, he's been really efficient with the few shot attempts he is getting. He's hitting threes, he's scoring. He doesn't really get you defensive numbers, and he can be a little turnover prone considering how little he plays. But if you like Obi Toppin and you believe in his offensive potential, he's only 45% rostered, so still available in a lot of leagues. I probably won't target him a whole lot unless it's a deeper format, and I do have him in some deeper leagues. So I'm going to hold him there in the 12-team format. There's probably guys I like more. But if your waiver wire is bare and he is there, he might be somebody you want on your roster. So it was an eventful weekend. Another player I lost in some leagues, and a lot of you did too, is Kristaps Porzingis, who's going to be out for at least the next week. Since the Celtics only play 2 games this week, it's actually decent enough timing. Hopefully he can rest up and come back healthy for next week. Fingers crossed, because I need him a lot in the leagues in which I have. But I do have a player for you to consider picking up if you have Kristaps Porzingis and you have him in your IL. Al Horford is only 44% rostered right now. Last game, played 32 minutes, and 3 games in a row now, he's had 31 or more minutes. Last game, he had 6 points, 15 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, 2 blocks. He's playing center minutes. He's filling in for Kristaps Porzingis being out. And normally when Al Horford gets the opportunity to play center and he's getting 30 plus minutes, he can be productive. The issue has been for the majority of the season, he's been getting minutes closer to the low to mid 20s, and he hasn't really been producing with those minutes. But when given the time and the opportunity, like here on November 15th in this win against Philadelphia, played 29 minutes, made 5 of his 9 shots, had 4 three-pointers made, 14 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 5 blocks. Last game, got 32 minutes, got you 2 blocks. So if you need a guy that can get you some rebounding, can get you some threes, and can get you some blocks when given the opportunity, Al Horford is somebody to consider. He's available in a lot of my leagues, and I'm in some really competitive leagues, so that should tell you, hey, now it's time to act. And if Kristaps Porzingis comes back and Al Horford drops off again, then you drop him. Do keep in mind what I said before, though. The Celtics only play 2 games this week, which makes them a little more difficult to stomach if your opponent has a lot more games. So proceed with caution. Now let's discuss some deep league targets. Most of these players are only rostered in about 5 to 20% of leagues. If they're rostered in more than 20% of leagues, I won't consider them a deep league target. I want to give you guys that you can find in almost every format. And for week 6, here are those guys. Jose Alvarado is only 6% rostered. And when given the minutes, he can get you threes. He can get you a good amount of steals, and he can do it quickly. You can see here in his last game, played 23 minutes, made 5 of his 11 shots, hit 3 three-pointers, had 12 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, a block, no turnover. That's really nice production for a guy only 6% rostered in those deeper formats, especially with the schedule the Pelicans have this week. Jose Alvarado has some value. Andrew Nembhard came back after missing 3 games, played 20 minutes, made 6 of his 13 shots, had 13 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, only 2 turnovers. He's at his best when Tyrese Halliburton is not playing, so don't pick him up with the idea that he'll help you with a healthy Tyrese Halliburton outside of really deep formats. But in really deep formats, a guy that can get you 4 plus assists per game in only 20 minutes per game, that can be difficult to find on the waiver wire. So considering he's only 3% rostered, he may be your guy if you're in need. On a very loaded Clippers team, there may be a role for Terrence Mann. He's only 11% rostered, with 5% of that being over the last day. He played 32 minutes in a win against Dallas, made 7 of 14 shot attempts, 3 of his 4 free throws, had 17 points, 3 rebounds, an assist, a block. He's had games with a block 3 games in a row now. He doesn't turn the ball over a whole lot. Very promising to see him take 14 shot attempts, considering the offensive players they have on that team. It's also important to remember that the Clippers refused to include Terrence Mann in a trade for James Harden, which to me, if you really want James Harden and you didn't give up Terrence Mann, tells me that team really values Terrence Mann, and you're not going to value a player if you don't plan on playing him. So what I'm saying is Terrence Mann may break out at some point this season, and we're at the point of the season where he's only 11% rostered. Give him a look. Caleb Martin showed how good he could be last year during the playoffs. When the Heat had their magical run, he was a big contributor in that run. Last game with Jimmy Butler not playing, he finally had his breakout game of this season. He played 31 minutes, made 9 of his 18 shot attempts, 3 of his 3 free throws, had 22 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, no steals or blocks, hit a 3-pointer, had 2 turnovers. So Caleb Martin's only 11% rostered. I grabbed him in a few deep formats and had him in the IL. So to have him come back and have a game like that felt really nice. Will he be able to produce like that if Jimmy Butler is playing? If Bam Adebayo isn't missing? That I can't tell you. They do have a lot of mouths to feed on the Heat, and they don't even have Tyler Hero or Duncan Robinson back. So I wouldn't drop anybody long term to pick up Caleb Martin. But in those deeper formats, I'd say 16 teams or deeper, Caleb Martin is a decent target. Nicholas Batum is only 8% rostered. He's been getting some good minutes over the last 4 games, 24 or more minutes at that. Last game played 32 minutes, had 14 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, got you 2 blocks, only 1 turnover. Nicholas Batum might even have some 12-team value, some would argue. My only concern with Nicholas Batum is we are on the verge of getting Kelly Oubre back from his unfortunate injury. So if Kelly Oubre comes back, Nicholas Batum is probably going to be knocked back in the pegging order and not get enough minutes to be useful. That remains to be seen. In a deeper format, absolutely target Nicholas Batum. In shallower formats, you might want to hold off for right now, but at least see how he does over the next few games, especially once Kelly Oubre has come back. And if you see him getting a consistent role in producing, somebody to have on your radar. Let me put this as plainly as I can put it for you. The Wizards suck. The Wizards will suck all season. There will be no point this season where they are competitive, which means Bilal Coulibaly is going to be unleashed. He's already getting minutes this early in the season. At the end of the season, I want to have him on my team. He's only 17% rostered right now. In his last game, he played 32 minutes, made 3 of his 5 shot attempts, had a 3, 7 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, a block. I don't like the 3 turnovers, but he is a rookie. He is going to be better. What I love about him is his defensive upside. He was one of the league leaders in steals during preseason, and that has carried over into the regular season, again, when he's getting the minute. Over the last 2 weeks, he's taken 6.2 shot attempts, making 54% of them. Only 66% from the free throw line, though only on 1.5 attempts. He's getting you a 3 per game, 8.7 points, 4 rebounds, 2.3 assists, 1 steal, 0.8 blocks, only 1.2 turnovers. And I think that's a very low baseline for Bilal Coulibaly. I think he's going to be a lot better than that at some point this season. And you might want to pick him up now. Honestly, I would say even in some 12-team formats. Might sound crazy, you let me know. Cam Reddish has been out the last few games with a groin injury, which has allowed Taurean Prince to get more minutes. Taurean Prince has had 31 or more minutes his last 3 games. Last game got you 7 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal, 2 blocks. The game before that had 14 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 3-pointers made, had double-digit shot attempts in 37 minutes. He's only 6% rostered, so if you're in a really deep format and need some production, Taurean Prince is somebody to consider. Georges Niang of the Cleveland Cavaliers is another player that's been getting some minutes and producing in those limited minutes. Even with a pretty healthy Cavaliers team, he played 23 minutes, took 9 shot attempts, made 3, had 2 3-pointers made, 8 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal. That broke a streak of 4 games he had scoring in double digits. He's gotten you 2 or more 3-pointers now 5 games in a row, all right? And he only missed that mark one time if you go back 8 games. So he's been pretty productive. Let's look into his season stat. Over the last week, he's taken 8.3 shot attempts, shooting 48% from the field, only half a free throw, making that half a free throw, 2.1 3-pointers made, 10.6 points, 3.9 rebounds, 1.3 assists, half a steal, 0.1 blocks, 0.6 turnovers. Really a low-end pickup here, nothing too exciting. But in those deeper formats, he's only 5% rostered. I'd pick him up if you need a big man that can hit some threes and score. Jalen Smith has been pretty inconsistent so far this season, but when getting the playing time, he can do a little bit of everything. I'm just hopeful that he'll eventually get enough playing time to be useful, not only in deep leagues. Last game, played 21 minutes, hit 2 3-pointers, 8 points, 6 rebounds, got you a steal, only 1 turnover, 66% from the field, again, only on 3 shots, made both of his free throws. So he can be efficient, he can get you some blocks when given enough playing time. The problem is, he doesn't get enough playing time. So don't drop anyone too valuable, but in a deeper format, he could help you. Well, Daniel Theis hasn't been great. He's been okay as far as getting you blocks. He's had 4 blocks combined over his last 2 games. He only got 16 minutes, but in a deeper format, you're not going to find a whole lot of talent on the waiver wire. He has a pretty secure role. He's going to get between 15 and 20 minutes pretty consistently, I would say. And he can do a little bit of everything. Score pretty efficiently. He can hit some 3-pointers. He can get some blocks. Really a low-end center, but there is enough upside to own him in those deeper formats. And the last guy I'm going to recommend to you is Corey Kispert. He's only 7% rostered, so you should find him in some very deep leagues. Even though last game was a bit of a dud, only made 3 of his 14 shot attempts. The game before that, he took 12 shots, made 7 of them, had 20 points, 5 rebounds, and assists, hit 6 3-pointers. So the minutes have been there, and he's been throwing up some shots on a very haphazard Wizards team. If you need a guard small forward combo that can hit some threes and on occasion score for you, Corey Kispert is somebody to look at. And to wrap up this video, we are going to look at the top drops by diamond players right now. So the top drops right now are Craig Porter Jr. going back to the waiver wire after the return of Donovan Mitchell. Darius Garland has relegated him back to a role in the teens. Unless those guys are injured, not really much opportunity for Craig Porter Jr. to produce. And another reason why I always advise to not fall in love with the waiver wire flavor of the week. You can really end up hurt if you drop some long-term value for a guy just having a strong couple of games. Caris LeVert, you have Jeremy Sochan, who was ruled out the remainder of Sunday's game due to left knee soreness. Probably not really any long-term implications there, but still, he hasn't even been great when he is playing and healthy. So if you have him and like some of these other players on the list, he's somebody to strongly consider moving on from. Duncan Robinson missed the game, strung together a couple of strong games. But like I mentioned before, with the Heat, there are a lot of mouths to feed. So if you were holding on, I would let him go. You have Luke Kornet being dropped. The Celtics only play 2 games, so not really worthy of consideration in most formats. Goga Bitadze, Jonathan Isaac of the Magic, both being dropped. You have Sadiq Bey being dropped in some leagues, but he's being picked up in more leagues than that. So if you have him, hold on to him. Grayson Allen is being dropped, but if you have IL Plus, I would put him in your IL Plus because he has been pretty productive so far this season. Same situation with Alex Caruso dealing with a toe injury that has kept him in and out of games. I'm trying to hold him where I can unless I don't have the IL space. Lugens Dort has not been impressing me whatsoever over his last few games. I consider him a drop in most formats because he's producing like this and Jalen Williams hasn't. Skylar Mays, similar situation to what I said with Craig Porter. Waiver wire pickup of the week, then had 6 minutes, and now he's being dropped by almost everyone. Just a week or two ago, this guy was like 40% rostered, so you have to be careful who you drop, chasing what I call pumping. And the last few guys I'm going to discuss from the drops list, Bismack Biyombo, even though he did get 30 minutes, and he got to start next to Santi Aldama, which I thought was an interesting development. He didn't do much with the time. He got you 10 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal. Just not very impressive production considering the opportunity ahead of him. Though I'm not surprised, this is who Bismack Biyombo has been the majority of. And lastly, you have Santi Aldama. Some teams are moving on, but about an equal amount of teams are picking him up. He's 62% rostered right now. Played 27 minutes, made 6 of his 15 shots, got you 14 points, had 21 points the game before that, has scored 21 or more points 2 of his last 4 games, and if you go back 6 games, you can make that 3 of his last 6 games. So the opportunity has been there for him. I would not drop him if I were. And if somebody does drop him in your league, pick him up. And if you're wondering right now why I get to see how many games remaining each of these players on the transaction trends tabs has for the remainder, well, that's actually really simple. I have the Fantasy Basketball Wizard Chrome extension. It's also available on Firefox. There is a link in my description. That is just one of the cool features that it has. It has so many others. I'll be covering those later on this week, and I've covered them in the past, but I highly suggest getting that extension. Yeah, something else cool that you can do with the extension. I can see how many players I have on my team and how many games they have remaining for the rest of the week. I can also go directly to my matchup and it will project for me what my matchup is looking like that week. I can also make changes such as the number of games being played. So let's say Jordan Clarkson is going to miss a game and I know that I'm going to put 3 here. It's going to change the projection according to the changes I make here. So you can do this all from the Yahoo browser, which is so incredible to me. You don't have to get over to any other website. You don't need to go do anything complicated or difficult. It's just right there adding information right there at the source where you need it most. Something else that I think you can take full advantage of to really have an advantage over your competition is the Wizard Daily Summary. You can go right here. You can go and you can see the top lines of the night from the previous night. And you can quickly try to identify some of these sleepers that are having games. It's so hard to watch all of the games. We all know that. But with this breakdown, you can quickly figure out who you need to pay more attention to. Like Max Struss is a guy that we've talked about a lot. Al Horford, a guy we talked about today. DeAndre Hunter, Malik Beasley. By seeing these lines of the night, you can really get ahead of everyone else. And that's just another cool feature of this fantasy basketball wizard. And I don't know if you caught that, but the nightly summary is now sponsored by Brock Lesnar Hoops. It is the Brock Lesnar Hoops Daily Summary. That is how serious this partnership is, how much we respect and admire each other, and our ability to combine forces to be a one-stop shop for you to dominate your fantasy basketball competition. That is my breakdown for today. Which of these players are you targeting? Which of these players are you dropping? Let me know in the comment. Also, with this being week 6, we've gone through about a quarter of the season already. If your team is not doing well, this is the time for you to start doing your pivots. And if your team is doing well, now is the time to start taking some risks. You might want to start picking up some injured players and putting them in your IL, or maybe even holding them on your roster, even if it costs you the week. Because the teams that are desperate for wins are going to start dropping some really valuable players. And if you have a spot open, even if it may cost you in the short term, when those players come back or when those players start producing at the level they can typically produce, you're going to reap the reward. In fantasy basketball, it's incredibly important that you not get comfortable. I've seen it so many times where a team that's in first place, they start looking at the waiver wire, they stop considering trades, they start coasting, and then that team that they're overlooking is picking up great players off the waiver wire. They're making moves, and then they meet in the playoffs, and then the player that dominated the whole season just gets spanked, didn't even see it coming. Don't let that happen. If you enjoyed that breakdown, do me a favor, smash that like button for me. Subscribe to Brock Lesnar Hoops if you have not yet. And be on the lookout later this week, because I am going to do a week 6 check-in video where we are going to discuss different scenarios and how you want to move accordingly at this point in the season. Now we're entering a new phase. We're going into December. You're about to see a lot of your players start hitting mid-season form and producing the way you expected them to from the beginning. I've done this enough to know this first month and a half, you're getting the brown water out. These players are not producing to the level they're going to. Now you're really going to see if your drafting was adequate, as long as you've been patient and haven't gotten rid of your stuff. Until next time, this is Brock Lesnar of Brock Lesnar Hoops. Take care.